Thank you.
Good morning. We are going to need our Bibles today, and I can see mine back here, so I'm going to go grab it. So our hosts in the back, Tammy and Rick, have Bibles they would like to hand out to you. Open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 5. We are wrapping up the Beatitudes today. I don't know how to take that, John. For those of you watching from home, I said, we're wrapping up the Beatitudes, and someone said, yay. So, in a good way. We're going to refer to them a lot soon because we're going to jump in a few weeks, we're going to jump into the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about the practical things of everyday life and how do we walk through those? How do we handle that? And I'm just going to tell you, some of these are tough topics. And I was like, man, God, can we just talk about how awesome your love is? Like we sang about this morning, it's higher. There's nothing higher. There's nothing deeper, nothing wider than the love of God. But Jesus says, hey, because I love you and because my love is like that, I want to teach you how to walk with me. And then a lot of the Sermon on the Mount is how we walk with one another, which is sometimes the hard part, right? How do we walk with one another? Me and Jesus are doing pretty good. But sometimes me and, I don't want to say you, me and others, how about that? Sometimes is a struggle. I do want to say good morning to some of you that I haven't seen for quite a while. Elliot, good to see you. One of my former youth kids in the house when I was a youth pastor. I was out in the Wilkeson where I live, and we're at the ice cream soda shop, and one of our youth kids walked in. She lives in Bonnie Lake. Hadn't seen her since 2007. And I walked up to her, and she goes, I thought that was you. And I said, yes, I look different. I'm really gray now. And then Leslie's in the house. And Jacob's in the house. Whew. So we got to know them, their family. You know, I really do believe that God brings us together in divine moments. And then when you have those divine moments, then your world is not the same. So 2017, 16, I don't remember. I am getting older, sorry. We had the privilege of going up to Alaska, to Klawak, and serve and work in the rain, in the cold, and make trails. And we got to meet this really incredible family, who loves Jesus. And it's been an amazing journey ever since, and I apologize from up front that we haven't been in contact more. That's on me, and so let's be in contact more. He's even wearing one of our mission trip sweatshirts this morning when we went up there and actually put the first totem up in the park that we built that honored the military. By the way, it is Memorial Weekend, and the first totem that went up in Klawak honored all five branches of the military. And that thing was huge. We carried it from the carving shack all the way to where it is put up, which is traditional. And there was almost 100 people carrying it. And I don't know if my back has ever been the same. Honestly, it was heavy. And then the tree that it was strapped to pull up almost broke because this thing was so big. And so, hey, if you served in the military, I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. If you've served in any branch of the military, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. So we have Army represented in the house. Do we have Navy represented in the house? Okay. All right. And we have the Marines represented in the house. Okay. And then do we have Air Force represented in the house? Okay. Any Coast Guard members in the house? They're all on a ship somewhere, I guess. So they're all boating this weekend, apparently. So, well, hey, I want us, can we, as a church, stop and pray? And I would just say that, you know, I don't know everybody's story. I don't know what you personally have gone through what you went through. But there's people in our, even in our neighborhoods right now, that life is a struggle once they come back. Especially from if you had to go overseas. Man, our God, if we pray in faith, what Ashley said today, I believe that God can heal those things and restore us back to even better than before. And so can we pray as a church And as we step out in faith, I really want us to pray and lean in to him this morning. And Lord, we lift up these in this room and who are watching that have served our country, which means they've served us, which means they've served you. And we thank you for their lives. We thank you for what they've done and what they've accomplished. And we pray, Lord, for their, if their healing needs to happen, Lord, we pray for that right now in Jesus' name. I believe that if you were here, and you are here, but if you're here in person, just as we read in the New Testament, and you were walking through this place, you would stop. And you would look as eye to eye and bring healing to those places that need healed. So we ask for that. We ask for, across our nation, those who struggle. I pray that there would be a sense of hope because of you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you want a beautiful drive today, drive out to Tahoma National Cemetery. That's where my dad is buried there. It's awe-inspiring with all the flags and all that. But you just remember that it's we celebrate a three-day weekend because of what they've done. And so it's a huge deal. Well, today is Three Sermon Sunday. I love Three Sermon Sunday for multiple reasons. And I'm not going to get into those multiple reasons. I'll let you do the math for that. But one of the things I love most about Three Sermon Sunday is it gives people in our congregation the opportunity to share what God has been teaching them, sharing with them. And so I'm excited about that. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 3. Page 830 in your church Bible. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Life-changing passage. If we really jump in and really dive in. And so I'm encouraged today by those who are going to share. And we're going to invite Mitch Ashbeck to come up and share first today.
Buckle up. He was talking to me. All right. Got my notes here. Dark on dark. The hat stands out. Got it. Got to have a little color. All right. It's kind of weird to be up here without my guitar. I like hiding behind it. Marcy, I'm going to take after you and just put my hands in my pockets because that's also my comfort zone. If anybody doesn't know me, my name is Mitch. Been going to this church since I was 6. Very, very long time. Went to Northwest. I got my degree from the University of Google Search. And Kevin and I, we've been talking about this, about having me up here for a long time. And you're very brave. And after he'd asked everybody and everybody said no, he finally said, okay, it's Mitch's turn. So here I am. So I'm going to talk this morning about one of the Beatitudes. Kevin asked me which one. And I said, thou shalt not murder. He said, well, pretty close, but not quite the right one. I said I was just joking because I know who the Beatitudes are. They're one of my favorite bands. This is good. Good. I like this. Just copy what everybody else says and I just make it my own. So for real, I'm going to talk about one of the Beatitudes. Chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And I was just thinking that God is a peacemaker. He's not a peacekeeper. Peacekeepers are professional sweeper of things under the rugs. They want everybody to be happy. They're peacekeepers. They want everybody to like them. People pleasers. Jesus is a peacemaker. God is a peacemaker. I just read through Judges. I mean, the Kings. There is no sweeping under the rugs in those books. God doesn't sweep things under the rugs. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Webster's definition for peace, a state of tranquility or quiet, a state of security, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony. I call that when my kids are sleeping. That's peace. Maker, one that makes, a manufacturer, or to make. It's kind of nice to write the dictionary. What does it mean to make? Maker, to make. Anyways, to bring things into being by forming, shaping, or altering material. To construct, to cause to be, and to become. The opposite of peace is pandemonium. Tumult, turmoil, a state of condition of extreme confusion, agitation, or commotion. Unrest, uproar, chaos. It's the opposite of peace. Si vis pacem parabellum. It's Latin. My Latin's a little rusty, I'm sorry. But it's from the 4th or 5th century. It's a text whose author said, "For those who desire peace, prepare for war." If you want peace, prepare for war. A peacemaker runs towards the conflict, towards the wars. Where is there conflict in our lives, in your life? Where is there conflict? Where is there pandemonium? Where is there turmoil? Where is there unrest, uproar, and chaos? Run towards that. Jesus, through his teachings in the Old and the New Testament, the parables, and in his life example, was preparing us for battles. As I mentioned, I read through Judges, 1st and 2nd Kings, battles all the time. There is nothing being swept under the rug by God in those books because he loves us and wants us to win in his victories, much like a parent and way better than us, than me, in raising our kids in preparation for life and how to navigate the good and the bad that comes with that. Jesus knows that the enemy has three goals: to steal, kill, and destroy us as children of God. That was in John 10:10. And we must stand firm and battle for our spiritual lives and the lives of others. So to make peace, go to war. Do not seek out tension and discourse amongst each other. This is not your permission to be a jerk. This is not. But rather, seek understanding, forgiveness, seek love and peace, seek Jesus. Ephesians 6:12 in the NIV says, "Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And I would add, when they invade ours. The message says, this is not a weekend war that we will walk away from and forget about in a couple hours. This is for keeps. This is life or death. Fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. So again, I ask you, where is the conflict and wars in your life? Where is there chaos? Is there chaos in your finances? Us? Is there pandemonium in your family? Go to war. Is there turmoil in your marriage? Ephesians 6, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil, the battle, the conflict, the turmoil, the chaos, the war, and when that comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm and fight." Pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit in all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. One of the songs that Ashley sang, not this morning, but it's one of her favorites from Phil Wickham. It says this, "And when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, O God, the battle belongs to you. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." That's it. Sorry, that was kind of heavy, but that's what was on my mind. All right. And now this is Rick, one of my mentors, best friends. Him and I have been through a lot together, so here you go.
Blessed those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Any dog lovers in the house? Oh, wow. It's like at least half. So I've got a story I want to share with you that timing could be more perfect for sharing about this beatitude. A few weeks ago, my daughter, Shauna, gave me a call and said, "You know, I think you may need to come over because Lando, I think he's on his last leg. And Tammy and I were going out of town on a camping trip. And she goes, you know, it might help if you just come over because you guys have some history and maybe you can kind of lift him up a little bit. But you might not see him again. I went, okay. So went over to Shauna's house. We were going camping the next day. And Shauna, some of you might remember Shauna. She went to Wildfire Ministries many years ago. And do you believe it? She's 37 years old now. Oh, my. So anyway, ever since Shauna's been just this big, she would rescue anything, any animal. She had a pet rat called Raspberry, one of those white rats with the red eyes, when she was like, I don't know, 4 years old. And we still have it buried in the backyard, you know, it was a big ceremony. Anyway, even one time, she said, she called me one time, she goes, Dad, is there a pet rescue somewhere for baby rats? And that's the kind of heart my daughter has. She wants to, she just has a huge heart. So she rescued Lando. And Lando is a northern Inuit. Has anybody heard of a northern Inuit? Anybody know what a northern Inuit is? So anyway, it's a breed that became popular in the UK back in the mid-80s. And somebody had this bright idea to try to create a breed by mixing a Malamute, a Husky, and a German Shepherd to make it look like a wolf, but have it kind of smarter and trainable. And so you end up with this dog that's about this tall, and it was very lean, and it looks just like a timber wolf. It's got yellow eyes, weighs about 120 pounds. And she rescued this six-year-old because it had some issues. It had separation anxiety. It was very skittish with people once it got to know you. But she was going to rescue this dog that no one else wanted, and they were going to put it down. So she drove all the way to Spokane and rescued this dog at six. And she brought this dog home into this, you know, Shauna lives in a modest house in Auburn with a small backyard. And one of the things that northern Inuits need is to run. They need to. And so the first few months was kind of a struggle. So she said, Dad, can you just try to just bring Lando home to our house? We have a big backyard, big fence backyard, and see if you can kind of socialize this dog. And we had two other dogs, so maybe the pack can kind of calm them down. So about 3 years later, I'll give you the highlights. I put in this 6-foot cedar fence and had to put 5-foot horse wire on the inside of the fence because this dog turned out to be, it had separation anxiety. And so if we weren't home, it broke out. Or if one of your neighbors is jogging their husky kind of anywhere near the territory, he broke out. And so he wouldn't get through the horse wire. He would dig underneath the fence. And if you know anything about where we live out there between Black Diamond and Covington, it's all glacial till. It's like rocks this big to this big. And this dog was able to dig under the fence and get out. And so one time, I'm just giving you the highlights, he escaped out of the house. And we live in a traditional two-story house. And we just could not figure out how this dog got out. And it took us, I don't know how many hours to figure out, but we went upstairs and looked at our master bedroom, and the screen had been pushed out on the second story of a traditional two-story. I'm like, nah, this can't be. So I go in the front yard, and I saw one big, like, wolf print right in the middle of the yard. And this dog had pushed out the screen in our master bedroom, jumped down, and hit the roof over our bay window and launched into the middle of the front yard and didn't injure itself. So that's just, so, but the final hurrah was he got out of the yard twice and attacked my neighbor who was jogging. She was jogging with her husky kind of right along our perimeter, and he attacked the husky. And her husband came over and said, Rick, you know, I like to, you know, we're peaceful neighbors and I like to let things lie, but the next time your dog comes over and attacks our husky, I'm going to shoot it. And he had all the right to shoot it. So I called Sean. She goes, I'm so sorry, honey, but you're going to have to come get your dog. So that was, I don't know how many years ago. That was like 5 years ago, something like that. So I go over to Shauna's house, and this is like 2 weeks ago. And I walk in the door, and she goes, he's in the backyard. And you know how some of you have dogs, and they're ready to go. They kind of go to a a place in the yard where they just want to be left alone, and they don't move, and they stop eating. And that's what had happened with Lando when he was back of the yard. And I go back there, and I said, "Hey, Lando." And he recognized me and lifted his head, because I tried like heck to kind of acclimate this dog by walking with it and, you know, jogging with it, and went through all that with, but I couldn't keep it. So I tried to cheer him up, and I went back inside the house, and I looked at Shauna in her kitchen, and I just looked at her, and I just thought about this 13-year-old, 110-pound wolf. And my brother still tells me, "No, it's not an Orient Inuit. That's a wolf, if I've ever seen one." But this, I looked at Sean, I went, here this dog was almost put down, was rejected, was, even I couldn't care for her, but you took this dog, and she figured out how to give this dog a quality life for 13 years. And I thought, you know, he's going to be passing pretty soon. But I looked at her, I said, "You have been a great master for this animal. You have given this dog a long life, a quality life, where no one else did." I said, "Good job." And she went, "Thanks, Dad." So we hugged each other, and I could just feel her sobbing. And I started to sob too. And I just thought about what a blessing it was that she called me and included me. And she wanted me to mourn with her. And so the takeaway that I just got to is that I didn't realize how much I was going to miss this dog. That was one. So I was mourning with her. And then I was blessed by reminding my daughter when she did a great job and how proud I am of her. And that was just a gift. How many times do we get a chance to even give our older kids an opportunity to just tell them that I'm proud of you, you're doing a great job? And so that was a blessing to me. And so I guess the main thing I wanted to give you today is that I was totally blessed. The blessings I kind of encountered, I was just going over there to kind of help and say goodbye. But I found out that I got a chance to encourage and tell my daughter how much she means to me and how much she does a great job in taking care of this animal. And that I got comforted at the same time. And the bottom line is that mourning is meant to be shared. And a lot of people, it can be a struggle for some people to mourn, but it needs to be shared, not just with the Lord, because I've had moments where I've cried out to the Lord and I've been comforted, just the Lord and I. But it was just a great reminder that we need to share our mourning with other believers in the body, so that we can minister to them and they can minister to us. And it's in ways that we don't expect. And it's a surprise. And in fact, like Wednesday night, I asked her, "Can I talk about this story? Because it's been really poignant to me, honey." And she goes, "You know what? You sharing that today, I was really having another really low point. So thanks so much for sharing that, because that really helped encourage me." So it's just like bonus after bonus after bonus when we decide to share our mourning with one another, and we don't do it alone and isolated, which is what the enemy wants us to do, you know, because as you all know, you know, we're all branches of the same vine, and that vine connects us for a purpose so that we can share our mourning and be blessed. We are truly blessed when we share the mourning with one another. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. Thanks. Here's Marcy.
Good morning. We have glasses today because apparently when you turn mid-40s, your body just kind of gives up and says, "Nope, not seeing anymore." So I printed in 14-point font and I still need glasses. If you don't know me, my name is Marcy. I'm the children's pastor here. I wore pants today with tiny pockets, so I'm not tempted. So I'm going to speak today on mercy. The beatitude I chose was, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And how I approach scripture when I'm studying scripture or passage or story is I look up the words, not only in the English dictionary, but also the Greek or Hebrew meaning. And there's a website called BibleHub.com where you can click on Strong's, yes, I can never remember. Strong's, and it tells you the Greek or Hebrew meaning for each word in the verse. So if you're not familiar with that, it's super helpful because a lot of times the English translation or version of the word doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as the Greek or Hebrew. So I look up the words in the passage to figure out what they mean, and then I find relevant places in the Bible that go along with what I'm reading and studying. And then I go, and generally, almost always, there is an opposite that you can find in scripture of what you are looking at. So I search for the opposite and I look for the opposite in the Bible. And then I ask myself, how is this relevant to me? How can I apply this to my life? So that's the way that I study scripture. That's the way I generally prepare Sunday school or wildfire lessons. And so that's kind of what I did today, just to give you a little peek ahead. So I chose, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And the Greek word for mercy, I'm not going to pronounce it, but it means kindness and compassion. So being merciful to someone means showing them kindness and compassion. The American or English dictionary definition adds forgiveness. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone with whom it's within your power to punish or harm. So the English definition adds a little bit to the Greek words. So if you are a believer in Jesus, if you follow Jesus, we have been shown mercy because Jesus came, he took the punishment for us, and we have all been given mercy for that. So if you flip this verse around, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We have all been shown mercy. So then we are blessed because we are merciful. That's the opposite of this verse. So that means as followers in Jesus are blessed because we are merciful, not if we want to be or when it's convenient or when we like the person. We are blessed because we are merciful. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul tells us to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Some of those words go along with the Greek definition of mercy. Which is really easy to say superficially. Of course I'm kind. Of course I have humility. I'm the most humble person around. I'm gentle. I have patience. I let that guy in when he cut me off. I didn't honk at him. But what about internally? What's your internal dialogue? What do you think about people who are different than you? They believe different, or they dress different, or their lifestyle is different, or their job is different. Do you reference them as people, or do you say those people? Because it's easy to say those homeless people, those addicts, those people who have hurt everybody in their lives and driven everyone away. They deserve to be alone. Look what they've done. Those people was me. When I was 16, I hurt everyone in my life. And I was sleeping in my car. And I was addicted to alcohol and drugs. And I was still going to school because it was warm there. And there were showers. And there was food. And it was a place to be. And so after a while, one of my teachers noticed and without questions asked me to come over for dinner at his house. Come have dinner with me and my wife. And he actually saw me as a person, not as a student, not as one of those people, but really as a person. And that changed my path. That tiny moment, I ended up staying at his house for a couple months with him and his wife, and they did not ask me questions. They didn't ask anything of me. They fed me, they cared for me, and they gave me a safe place to be. And I don't know if they're believers. I hope when I get to heaven, I see Mr. Martin because he was just an amazing person. I really, really hope so. So if mercy is kindness and compassion, what's the opposite? Proverbs 6 has a list. I'm not going to name the whole list, but look it up. It's pretty convicting. At least it was for me. So there's 6 things God hates, 7 he detests. I don't know which one he doesn't hate and only detests. It doesn't say. But the first one on the list is judgment. It's haughty eyes. Judgment is the first one, the first thing listed that God hates. We cannot show kindness and compassion towards someone when we are judging them. It is impossible. James 2:12 says, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So how is this relevant to us as believers, as followers of Jesus, who are walking with him in every single day, who have to go live in a world that is not Christian? How is this relevant to us? It's easy to point and say, that person is Muslim or gay or homeless or here illegally or votes differently or dresses inappropriately or is addicted to drugs. Or there's a million ways that we can create a gap between us and them. And what we are doing with those labels is we are judging them. Jesus did not hang out in the church with the religious people. He hung out with the sinners, the outsiders, the people who didn't belong, the people judged. And that doesn't mean that he did not care for the religious people. We've been in Wildfire going through the book of Mark, and the Pharisees are like following him around saying, you're not fasting right. You're not Sabbathing right. You're possessed with demons. And his response was, he got angry, and then he looked at them with compassion and was sad. But then he did something. He didn't stop there. He didn't just get angry. He didn't just get sad. He looked at them with compassion, and then he did something. So when we have this divide between us and them that we have created, how do we fix it? Well, we hold out our hand. We say, hi, my name is Marcy. What's your name? What is your name? Because once you know someone's name, they become a real life person. They're not that person anymore. They're Marcy. They're Bill. They're Cheryl. They're a real live person. They're a person created in the image of God, just like we are, whether or not they believe like we do. They are loved by God, just like we are. They are shown mercy by God, just like we have been. And once you make that connection, once you know somebody's name, you can start a relationship and you can find out their story and you can share your story, and then you can tell them about Jesus. I went to a Mariner game on Monday, and there's not a megaphone guy anymore because now he has a Bluetooth mic and amp, and he is just screaming at people about repentance and hell. And I was like, where is the love? God is love. 1 John, God is love. Anyone wants to know about God? Anyone wants to know about Jesus? God is love. I don't want to talk about all the other stuff. I don't. God is love. And we, as followers of Jesus, need to reflect that. It's so important. And that is what is going to bridge the gap between us and them. One act of kindness and compassion can make a huge difference in someone's life. Looking them in the eye and asking them their name. It did for me. There was a time, a different time, where I was a single mom and I was working as hard as I could to support my daughter and myself. And sometimes things just fall short. And I got home one day, I still don't know who did it. There was bags of groceries on my doorstep. I don't know. That's a question I have for God. When I get to heaven, like, who left me that food? Because I was not open about, like, I'm poor, I can't eat. I know I wasn't. So I don't know. But somebody spoke. God spoke to somebody, and that person showed me kindness and compassion. And I try so hard in my life to do the same. I am not, this is for me. I am not always great at it. I'm not always great at initiating conversation with people. In fact, I'm really, really bad at it. I will choose the self-check. I will choose the send my son in and pick up my restaurant order so I don't even have to go through the drive-thru and talk to anyone. I am so bad at that. And yet, everything I do to avoid people and conversations, God always puts a person in my path. Always. Almost every single time I leave the house. So, you know, I just do my best to obey. I do my best to minister to who's in front of me, not necessarily sharing Jesus, but sharing love, sharing kindness and compassion. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for the mercy that we have been shown. I thank you that you came and you died for us, that you sacrificed everything so that we could be here today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us in conversations and interactions with people, and that where we have shown judgment, that would be replaced with mercy and kindness and compassion. And if this all seems like too much, that you would give us an opportunity to just start small. Start small in our thinking. And if we mess up, show us mercy. And that we would show ourselves mercy because we always have another chance. I pray that kindness and compassion and mercy and grace would just be at the forefront of our lives. Not something that we need to come here to hear about and think about. And I challenge us today, as we go out, to stick out our hand and learn somebody's name and listen to their story so that we can form that relationship and that we can share you, Jesus. Amen.
Wow. Well done. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Let's stand together. We don't do this often, but we're going to do it this morning. Can you just put your hands out in front of you? Because what I'm going to pray is I want you to receive from the Lord this morning. We already have. This is just, God, give us more. He's already poured into you. I hope you recognize that this morning. That through worship, through the smile at the front door, through the greeting time with a friend, and even somebody new, to the Word of God that has been spoken to us by three different amazing people, He has poured into us. And so, Lord, we stick our hands out before us, not out of selfishness, but really out of thankfulness. And we ask for more. We humbly ask for more. More of you, Jesus, in us. More of you, Jesus, flowing through us. And Lord, as our hands are out right now, Lord, help us get used to the fact that they need to be out. Greeting and a welcoming people into our world, is the kingdom of heaven. Give us the vision to welcome people into the kingdom of heaven. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have lots of opportunities to do that with the events coming up this summer. These aren't events that are sponsored by the kids ministry or Wildfire. These are events that you as a church, we are going to gather and welcome our community to this property. Yes, with blow up toys, with a young girl who's going to come and do balloon animals, with people who are going to be barbecuing. We're going to welcome our community. We are going to do that together. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.